of the greatest forms of worship I think we can ever give him is to give him our whole life, holding nothing back, you know, keeping nothing from him, meaning give him permission to change whatever he wants, to confront us however he wants. You know, he's so kind that when he does it gently. You know, he's not like the enemy. When the enemy accuses, when the enemy points the finger, he always gouges you, you know. He's mean. He's cruel. He's unkind. But when Jesus corrects, he always does it in a way to give you hope. He always does it with a promise. He always extends his hand. Let's say a person's down in the muck and the mire and they feel like they can't even face God. There's someone in here, you might feel like that right now. Feel like you've messed up one too many times. You know, maybe he doesn't even want me around anymore. But you know, Jesus, his mercies are new every morning. Every single morning, brand new all over again. He takes our sins and he puts them in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember them anymore. He extends his hand to us when we're in the mud puddle. And he says, come on up, I'll help you. Don't stay away from me because then I can't help you, but come up. Let me help you. Let me wash you. Let me bathe you. Let me cleanse you. Let me wash you in the blood. And then let me show you how to do better. Let me teach you how to do better because, see, I have a plan for you. You know, I didn't create you with no plan in mind. I have a plan. I know how to deliver you. I know how to set you free. No matter what ails you, no matter what the problem is, but you have to come to me. If you hide away from me, I can't help you because it's by your choice that you come. And if you overcome the enemy's lie and say, I'm going into the Holy of Holies anyway, I know I'm not worthy, but I'm coming before Jesus again. I'm coming again, Lord, here I am again. Forgive me again. Deliver me. Set me free. And Lord, if there's something that I'm doing or thinking, maybe I'm thinking in a wrong way, show it to me. Help me to see what I need to change. Help me to see what thinking I need to change in order to get free from that thing, whatever that thing is. You know, every person who comes to Christ has things. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your past was. Even if you grew up the nicest sinner in the cleanest town, you have stuff. All of us came with stuff. You know, it's all different. We all have different stuff. But there isn't any of us that didn't have to be cleansed by the blood. You know, none of us could stand before God for a second without being washed in the blood and recreated new. Recreated. He didn't just wash your old spirit man. He totally recreated you, made you a brand new man, a brand new woman, and said, old things are passed away. I've washed them away. I remember them no more. But now, does that mean you're perfect? No. And sometimes you still have some issues, right? And some things it takes a little while to get free from. But Jesus likes to unhook. He likes to set free. He likes to help us see what the hook is, you know. Sometimes we have a problem for a long time because we don't really know why it's there. And sometimes we need to say, Lord, show me the root cause of that thing. Show me what that is. Why did I act like that? Why do I respond that way? You know, for some people it's a sudden rage that comes out of nowhere. You know, they're suddenly just enraged. You know, that's a stronghold. You know, doesn't mean God loves you less. God wants to deliver you and set you free. Now, does he forgive you in the meantime? Sure, when you come and you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But what he wants to do is set you free from that thing. And that's even better. Because sometimes when you're set free, you're so set free that that thing just doesn't raise its head again. And that's wonderful. You know, there's some things I used to be so bound to. And when Jesus set me free, I never even saw or smelled that thing again. I'm not saying that's true of everything. I'm not saying you'll never have a bad thought in any area. But I am saying there are some areas of a stronghold where you can get free, so free that it's gone from your life. And that's being delivered to the uttermost. And Jesus desires to set us free, so free that we don't have to be like we used to be. We don't have to act like we used to act. We don't have to have those habits and propensities, you know, because those are strongholds. Jesus wants to set you free. And one of the biggest things the enemy tries to do is put a barricade in front of you and say, you are too much of a screw-up. Jesus can't help you or doesn't want to. That's why he's called, his name is, the accuser of the brethren, because he's really afraid that you will unite with Jesus in spite of your faults. Jesus knows about your faults and mine. He knows who we are when we're at home. He knows what we're like when nobody else knows what we're like. He knows what we're like when we're not at church, when nobody's around. He knows the thoughts of our heart. He knows our inner man. He knows everything. So it's not like a big surprise to him, you know. And he saved us and shed his blood knowing that we were a fallen type of person. And that until we're delivered and set free, there's some things, even though your spirit man, listen, your spirit man was recreated in the very image of Christ. He gave you his righteousness as a free gift, right? But you're still working out your salvation because you still have flesh. You still have a carnal mind as well as the mind of Christ, right? The Bible says you have both. It says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to think out of the mind of Christ, which you were given when you were born again. You were given a born-again spirit, which is in the image of Jesus. That mind doesn't sin. That mind of Christ, he doesn't sin. He doesn't have sinful thoughts. He doesn't have temptations. He doesn't have, you know, propensities to a wrong kind of anger or whatever the deal is. That mind of Christ is perfect, pure, holy, absolutely wonderful. And guess what? We have access to that mind of Christ. We also have access to a carnal mind, which is earthly, worldly. You know, we think like the world thinks. And to be honest, if we were raised in this world, we were raised according to a world system. Everybody was raised in a different kind of home. But what we see over and over is that a lot of times the things we need to be set free from may have to do with a wrong kind of thinking in the way that we grew up. You know, a wrong kind of thinking. I'll give you just, it could be a million things, but I'll give you an example. Some people are raised with certain ideas about what makes you a important person or an accepted person or a validated person. Okay? And in every home, it'll be different. In some homes, a person might be raised to think, you know, imagine people who are raised by bikers, let's say. Well, they're going to think that a certain kind of bike is success. A person who is raised in a home, you know, I personally know a lady who was raised in a home in Las Vegas. She never heard the name of Jesus except by a swear word. And her dad told her, when she was a little girl, he said, keep your figure, because then when you grow up, you can work as a cocktail waiter. You can wear a bunny costume and work, you know, make good money. That's what her dad told her. That's the world system. Now, everybody's family was different. Maybe you didn't even have a family. Maybe you just grew up figuring it out, you know, your own way. But as we come to Christ, we come with all this thinking. And even though we get this brand new spirit, we get this wonderful, recreated, brand new person living on the inside of us, which, by the way, when you die and go to heaven, your spirit man steps over to be with him. And he says he's able to make you stand faultless before the throne. Wow. Wow. I mean, in the natural, we're not faultless, are we? But he is able, because he washed you in the blood and gave you a brand new spirit man that, by the way, Satan can't touch that spirit man. Oh, he messes with your head. He messes with your flesh. He messes with your soulish man, your outer man, your personality. But he can't mess with that spirit man on the inside of you, because that is holy and in the image of God. You're a new creation on the inside. That's why Paul talks about, you know, wretched man that I am, the things I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I do. He was talking about this war going on in his person between his born-again spirit that always wanted to do right and his outer man that was kind of, you know, not always doing right. And he was making it clear that there is this thing going on at all times. But you can actually win the battle if you learn to retrain the way that you think. Now, the hard part of this is we tend to believe we're right even when we're deceived. So the way our parents raised us or the way we were raised, however that was, seems right to us. That seems like the way. So our behavior begins to manifest what we believe is the right thing, doesn't it? There are young girls all over the world who've been trained, not because their parents said so, but every billboard, every television commercial told them that to have value, they had to look a certain way, act a certain way, and they get into high school and college and start doing all kinds of things that deep down they don't really want to be doing. They don't really feel right on the inside, but they do it because they want to feel validated and accepted. But instead of feeling that way, it only makes them feel worse because God created them for holiness. God created them for purity. That's just one example of a false belief system that has to be eradicated. And what happens is the way that we were raised, whatever it was, tends to cause us to stumble in later life unless Jesus helps us see. So one of the greatest things you can ever do for yourself is stop and look at what your thoughts are. Most people never push that, you know, slow down button because your thoughts are very fast. Thoughts, you know, your brain is much smarter than any computer ever created, much faster than any computer ever created. You think so fast that a lot of times you don't know why you arrived at a certain conclusion, but you can stop and figure it out. Why did I act that way? Why am I doing that? It could be a stronghold. It could be just flat wrong thinking. Some of you have known me a long time. Some of you have heard this example. And I'm not giving you this example because this will be your problem, but I'm giving this to you as an example of how to get free from something. You may see a problem area in your life, and the way that you see it is you're going along, you're a good Christian, you have pretty good behavior, you're doing good, and then out of nowhere, you act bad or you do something weird that doesn't seem in keeping with the rest of your Christian walk. And you walk away scratching your head thinking, why did I do that? Why did I react that way? What happened there? What caused that? And this happened to me. This happened to me a number of times. But when you see that, that may be a little red flag saying that you need to deal with something. Okay? Again, God is not condemning you at all. He's trying to lift you up to victory. See, here's the thing. We have been given the tools in the Word of God to actually come to a place where we can walk in victory over this stuff. But in order to do it, we need to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind or our thought processes or our thinking systems. Okay? I had some problems with men when I was younger. I was a typical dumb kid. And I mean, I was with guys I didn't even like because I thought it was the thing to do. Stupid. But that's how we were raised. Now, my parents didn't raise me that way, but society did. It made it clear you were supposed to look a certain way. Now, I don't look that way now because I'm cracking 60, as they say. But when I was young, I did look that way. And I remember thinking I was supposed to have lots of dates. I was, you know, I would do things that now to me would be just flat gross. Because I thought it was the right thing to gain acceptance. I thought it was what everybody did, what you were supposed to do. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, you know, I had been delivered from a lot of that as I walked in Christ a while. I remember saying, God, why do I still have this one part of this hanging on, these thoughts? Now, I didn't act on them, thank God, but I had thoughts. And they would come and go, come and go. And I said something I should have said years sooner. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why do I have this? See, I should have asked that question a long time ago. And the Lord real quietly said to me, you're looking for your father in every man you meet. That sounds dumb, but see, what had happened to me was I didn't have the acceptance of a dad. And for both young men and young women, the acceptance, knowing that their dad approves them, quite often will give them confidence or take that confidence away. And so I didn't feel like I had that from my dad, so I was trying to get it from other men. Isn't that sad? And all it did was make me a mess. All it did was hurt. All it did was cause problems. And when God showed me that, I was free, literally free from that stronghold in seconds because I said, you're right. I repent of that in the name of Jesus. Because I wasn't repenting of the outward. See, outward behavior is just an outward manifestation of what's going on in the inside. Your outward confession is only the outward manifestation of what's going on in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, your behavior comes. If you have behavior and you don't understand why you have it, ask God what's going on the inside. Because you can cut the behavior off all you want, but it keeps coming back, doesn't it? Until you find the root cause and say, What is that thing, Lord? Help me. So God likes to unhook and set us free from thinking systems and from even emotional wounds. You know, a lot of people behave the way they do from wounding. One wound can cause a person to behave in crazy ways for years on end. A lot of the people that cause a problem in the church are people who were wounded once, and it created a need, a vacuum, that they have to have attention. They have to be praised. They have to be considered important. And so they're always standing around on one foot begging for praise. You know, they don't say that, but I'm just being honest. And we don't condemn them, but praise won't fix them. You know, praising them won't fix them. What they need is a healed heart. Because a needy person will always be causing a problem. They don't mean to. They're hurting. You know, if someone is a needy person and they get wounded or offended, that need causes behavior patterns. We've seen everything from vengeance, revenge. We've seen the nicest people in the world begin to manifest crazy behavior because of a wound, because they were hurt. And we try with all our heart to get people's wounds healed because we realize that it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. It's out of a wound that we behave sometimes. Sometimes it's just a false belief system, a misunderstanding. We believe wrong. And so, you know, there's some people who grow up and they're taught by maybe their parents or by society that money will make them happy. And so they go for it with everything they got. A young man years and years ago, 800 years ago, asked me to marry him. He didn't love me, and I knew he didn't love me. But he had a certain type of income, and he saw my job, and he thought, finances. Yeah, how about it? He was trying for a certain level of finances, and he had certain goals. And I remember there was a group of us going to lunch one day, a whole bunch of us in the car, and there were two people in the car that were getting married. And they said they were going to have a small wedding, and he said, well, you know, if you have a big wedding, you can get a lot of good gifts, a lot of good financial gifts. He had been raised, and I'm not condemning the guy, I'm just saying that he had a belief system that money or lots and lots of money would make him happy. And so he had geared his behavior systems to make money, and he was making decisions to go that route. So what I'm trying to say is whatever system you were raised with or whatever system you ended up with causes you to make decisions every day, and sometimes you don't even know why you're doing it, okay? So I have a long history of, you know, I was pretty screwed up. Now, I didn't look it in my outward person. I might have looked like I had it pretty well together, but inwardly I was really screwed up. And when I came to God, I was a real mess. I had all kinds of junk and wrong thinking. And I'd heard about the glory of God, and I'd seen a bit of it. And I grew very, very hungry. I loved God. That was real. My heart, I fell in love with God. That was as real as it can be. But I was still pretty screwed up. I was born again, you know, by the blood of Jesus. I got filled with the Spirit, but I was still kind of screwed up. And so I'd heard about the glory, and I'd heard about changing your life, changing your person, changing your vessel to be fit for the master's use, as it talks about in 2 Timothy. If a man will purge himself, he becomes a vessel fit for what the master's use, or fit to carry the presence, right? Well, for me, it became about that. So I spent some years pressing in to being changed. Purge himself, if a man will purge himself. From what? From the things of the flesh, from the things of this world, from thinking like the world thinks, from strongholds. So I spent some years really going after it. I don't mean casually. I mean day and night going after God to be set free. You heard my song. I want to be like you, Lord, but I know I must be changed. Set up your kingdom in me. We have to come to a place where we're ready to face it and say, I want to be changed. Not because I feel guilty, but because I want to be fragrant and pleasing to Him. We can create a vessel that is so attractive to Him. We can create a vessel in our life, a heart that draws the Lord, that He says, I want to be with that one, man. I want to dwell in their house. Wow. You know, He loves all of us. But, you know, some people stink spiritually. When you can actually smell them, they smell so bad in the spirit. What do you think that smells like to Him? Now, He still loves you. But yes, He does wish you'd get free. Well, I had a lot of that, so I'm not pointing any fingers, probably as many, you know, strongholds as anybody. Well, then what happened is I spent some years getting delivered from strongholds. And I thought I was doing pretty good because I'd gotten free from lots of junk, including guilt and condemnation, including all kinds of lust and junk, garbage. It got free, free, free. And I thought, boy, I'm doing good now. And one day God said to me, your mind is like a garbage can. I said, what are you talking about? I was like, what? I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe He said it. I said, but God, I'm free from all that stuff. I don't even think that way anymore. He said, no, I'm not talking about that stuff. You do not think according to what I've said in my word. Your mind and your thoughts do not agree with what my word says. You are not a positive person. You are not hopeful. You're not full of faith. I was very negative. I really was. I really was a negative person. I was a whiner. Whiny, whine, whine. If I had a problem, I would whine about it to God. You know, that wasn't what the word said to do at all. Now, God was kind to me and He put up with me for more years. I don't know how He stood to be around me, frankly. Because looking back, P.U., I was awful. And He was kind to me. And He was gently trying to correct me and say, first of all, you're never going to get anywhere. You can whine till the cows come home. Nothing's going to change. Whining never changes anything. In fact, it establishes the negative thing. Yeah. So God began to confront me that even though I'd been set free, I thought, from a lot of strongholds, I still had a long, long, long way to go to change my thinking to become like His. Because my thinking was according to the world system. Do you know that the Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God? Yipes. So what does it mean to be a friend of the world? To think like they think. To be negative. Do you ever get around, you know, maybe at work, you know, certain places are worse than others, but you get around some negative Nellies and they'll just start in and they love to gripe about their job, which, by the way, is paying them to stand there and gripe about their job. I worked on this team of people, and as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not making this up, I actually had the best manager I'd ever had. Fabulous manager, really, really a great manager, gave us all kinds of benefits none of the other groups were getting, and yet the people on my team couldn't wait till she wasn't in the room to just rip her open. I mean, just cut her up one side and down the other, and I was just stymied. I was like, really? You want to go work for the other guy down the hall? Are you kidding? I was shocked at the, but it, you know what? It becomes the thing to do, to complain. It becomes the, you know, it almost becomes to where you don't even know you're doing anymore. And almost to where it's expected. But do you know that one of the worst things you can do for yourself is to complain and recite the problems? It's one of the worst things you can do for yourself. Well, I didn't know that in those days. And when God confronted me, I was pretty negative. And God began to challenge me to stop the bus and take a look at why I think what I think. Why I think the way I do. Why I respond the way I do. Why do I say certain things? And take a look at it and compare it with the Word of God. And what He began to show me is that if I could conform my insides, my heart, and my mind to the truth, then I would have victory in that area. Not only victory, but I would actually be able to help other people have victory in that area. Now, that was stunning to me. And what began to happen is I began to go after it. You know, most people, when you start to talk about change, they kind of go, you know. They're afraid to be corrected because they're afraid that then they won't be considered an important person, or that maybe God doesn't love them, or they aren't validated. So they're like shields up, and they start to justify all their behavior. Well, that is the surest way to stay just exactly where you are with the problems that you have. Surest way to stay stuck in your mess is to justify your own behavior, because generally speaking, the problem isn't God. You know, we think, oh, it's the devil, oh, it's God, but the truth is really, it's us. It really is. And I found that out looking in my own mirror, okay? I'm not pointing any fingers. I found that out looking in my mirror and realizing that the enemy wasn't, you know, yeah, Satan's the enemy and he's a creep, but he was attacking in areas where I had given him license by my thinking and my speech. I had given him license. See, I didn't know that until the Lord told me. I thought, well, it's the enemy's attacking me because I'm a Christian, or, well, God's, you know, there's a appointed time, and when we get around to it, God will do this thing he said he's going to do. And one day, God just got in my face about that thinking. And he was kind, and he's good. And he did me a big favor to confront me. I said all that to say this: one of the greatest relationships you can ever have with God is to trust him enough to let your walls of justification down. Let your walls down and say, okay, here I am, Lord. I got 500 issues. You show me which one you want to deal with first, because he's not going to just push the button and change all 500. He doesn't work that way. And you know why? Because in each and every area, we have to make a choice, because it is choice that swings the lever between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Choice, 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 choice. Our choices determine what kingdom we walk in. So you may see people who walk in God's kingdom with great benefits in one area, and they're getting clobbered in another. Now, I'm not going to deny sometimes Satan's just mean and attacks people. But a lot of the times those attacks come because somewhere we have had false thinking. And God is trying to rescue us. He doesn't want you to stay that way. He's not confronting us because he's mad. He's trying to give you a way up into victory. See, you have to understand, he has already provided everything we need. If you really read your Bible, and I'm talking about start in Genesis and go all the way to the end, and you look at what he provided for, he has literally provided for every human need that could ever exist. Already provided for it. On the cross, shed his blood to release it. It has already been released. But Christians are struggling to walk in those victories because of a lack of understanding. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. So God's trying to get his people to change their thinking to line up with his. Let's start at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, God did everything he did by his creative word. He spoke and worlds happened. He spoke and universes happened. Everything that is in the farthest corners of the universe or in the smallest speck happened because God spoke. Okay? He created all that there is. There's not anything that was created that wasn't created by him. The throne is therefore the center of the universe because it all came out from him. Think about, first of all, think about who you're dealing with. Think about the power. Think about this for a minute. His word is eternal. When God speaks something, it is. It doesn't just happen. It happens continually. When God says something, it is, in the same way that he says, I am, it is. Okay? Fact. So when he says something in eternity, it is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can change it. Do you know the Bible says that the word is an incorruptible seed? Incorruptible means there's no force in heaven or in earth that can change it or corrupt it or mess with it. Once God has said it, that's it. That's it. It's an incorruptible seed, and you were born again by that incorruptible seed. Did you know that? No one can take your salvation from you. No one. You could choose to renounce Christ, but no one can make you. That's something that happened in you. They can put you in jail and beat you, but they can't beat it out of you. They can't beat that Holy Ghost out of you. Well, the Word of God, the Bible says it never returns void. It says he watches over his Word to perform it. It says in Isaiah 53, it talks about all that Jesus died for you to have. He died for you to be released from grief and sorrow. We don't have to carry that anymore. We don't have to. But if you don't know how to make the exchange, you'll still walk in grief and sorrow. And I'm not by any means saying that some people in here might not have a very good reason to feel hurt or have sorrow. I'm not saying that. We've all been hurt, haven't we? We've all been wounded, haven't we? Some of those hurts are very real. But Jesus died to release us from grief and sorrow, in addition to forgive our sins. Wow. He also died that we might be healed, inwardly and outwardly. Wow. He has already done this. He has already spoken, even in the Old Covenant, by the way, and I could prove it to you. He's already spoken in the Old Covenant that he doesn't want you living in lack anymore. He loves you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You can't prosper past what's going on in your soulish realm. You can't prosper. You can't be healed past what's going on in you. The incorruptible seed of the word has to be in you. See, what happens, oh, hallelujah, what happens is when we get a hold of the Word and get a revelation of it, it grows in us, and Satan can't have it. He can't take it, and he can't stop it. And what happens is we begin to grow strong in faith. We grow strong on the promises. And we begin to become resolute in faith, meaning we won't back down. And when the enemy comes and says, oh, but look at this, but look at that, we say, shut up. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. There's nothing he can say about it, and he knows it. Because, see, he's not then fighting against you. He's then standing up to the Word of God, and he can't do it, and he knows he can't do it. Jesus said, heaven and earth might pass away, but my words will never pass away. Once he has said something, that's it. You know, God showed me an interesting thing. He showed me, you know, one of those, they used to call it a lifesaver on a boat, you know, the donut thing that you threw to somebody. And he showed me a person, and somebody came up and gave them one of those, and they went, oh, thanks, yeah, thank you, and they threw it in the garage because they had no use for it. And then he showed me a second person, and they inherited a boat. They inherited a boat from, let's say, their mom or dad. And they said, oh, hey, I got that thing in the garage. I can put it on my boat. It, you know, it has a purpose now. I'll put it on a rope, and I'll put it on my boat. Then he showed me a third person who was out in the water. And they're about to go down for the last time. They're drowning. And he threw them that ring. And they clutched it as if it were their last breath. And he said to me this, that's how people are about my word. Some people have a Bible, and because they don't see the need, they put it on the table and they don't really understand the purpose of the thing. Some people are pretty casual about it. They say, oh yeah, Bible, good, that's good. I'm a Christian, I'll have a Bible. And they may read some and even be somewhat blessed from it. But when we see our need for the Word, let me tell you something, sooner or later, every person comes into a place where they are not going to make it unless they deal with it through the Word. If I ever said anything true to you, it was that. Every one of us will have circumstances in our life. It may be life or death. It may be foreclosure. It may be, I don't know, everybody's situation is different. But sooner or later, we deal with issues where we will not make it if we don't learn how to deal with the Word of God. And he showed me a person who is drowning, and someone had thrown him this ring, but they're ignoring it and yelling at this big cruise liner going, come over here and help me, come over here and help me. And they're going down, and all the time, here's this word, this lifesaver right there. They're still calling out to the big cruise ship, and they're ignoring the word because they do not have a revelation of the power of God that is in it, because it contains life. Listen, my words are spirit, and they are life. The Bible says it's life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I know you've heard me tell this story 100 times, but it's still true. I know a woman who was dying and was literally going down for the last time. On her deathbed, had lost all this weight and was her organs were rotting and she stank from it. And she got a hold of the Word of God and said, I will not go home. This is the devil. It's not God. Jesus Christ, that it came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. This is not God's will. I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And she began to speak the word. Sow the word. Speak the word. Sow it. It's a seed. You sow it. Sow it. You sow it. She did not die, but lived. 100% healed of cancer. 100%. No one laid hands on her. No one with a gift came to town. She took the word seriously as life or death. And sometimes in life we're casual because we don't realize how important it is. We don't realize we're in trouble. I wish I would have learned years sooner. I wish I would have known in my 20s the power of the word, the real power, the raw power of it. Think of, if I could speak what he has shown me, if I could speak it, it'd change your life. He showed me like how it was in eternity. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. When there was nothing, he is. The Word of God in the beginning was the Word. When there was nothing else, he is. When there was nothing else, I am was there. And when he spoke, it's creative power. That same creative power was put into the written word of God. But it doesn't have power in the earth until it is put in a man or woman's soul, sown in the soil, right? It doesn't have power until it's put in a man or woman. And most of you know why, because man and woman, God has given us authority in the earth. He's given us the authority. That's why our words are so very powerful. I'm going to say something as gently as I can say it. There's one or two people in here, with your head, you believe what I'm saying. You're nodding your head up and down. Yeah, I believe that. Amen. That's true. Hallelujah. But in your heart, you don't believe it, and it's killing you. You have trouble on every side, and you're not winning. And I'm going to tell you, as gently as I can, God wants to help you, but It's almost as though that choice thing is going on. He needs you to make quality decisions about what you're going to do with the promises of God. I'm telling you, there's life and death in the Word. The way you treat the Word of God, the way you decide what to do with it. And for me, I don't want things to get so bad that I'm like the desperate man going down for the last time. So I made a quality decision. This is going to be, I'm going to need to put it in there. I'm going to need to sow it in my heart, until it begins to take over. Like the mustard seed. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move hence yonder. Say to a mulberry tree, move, and it'll move. What happens? That seed gets sown in the soil. You know from the Bible that the soil is the heart. You know from the Bible that the seed is the word or the verse. You sow it in your heart. And the mustard seed, which starts out as the smallest, grows into the great tree that Jesus talked about. He said the kingdom of heaven is like that mustard seed. It starts out very small, but if you put it in the soil, which is your heart, it's going to grow into great faith. It's going to grow into something that changes lives. I'm just debating how far to take you here. Just asking the Lord how far to go here. The Word of God, it lives and abides forever. So in heaven, do you know we'll still be talking about the Word? In heaven, we'll still be having classes on the Word. We'll still be learning what He meant when He said. I'm telling you, the power, if you were the only person on earth and there was nobody else to go to for prayer, there was no other believer to go to, you could still get your healing, your victory, your situation turned around if you learn what God is saying in His Word. You turn every situation around. Now, you do have to make choices. And you may have to repent of some things, and you may have to give God access to deal with you. You may have to say, Lord, here I am, go ahead, point your finger, tell me what I got to do. I'm ready. I'm on the operating table. Get out the knife. I trust you, Lord, with my life. Go ahead, do some surgery. If I have an attitude, if I have unforgiveness, if I have somehow been hurt by somebody and I'm still carrying that as a little, issue. That alone will keep you sick. Did you know it? One little attitude against somebody that hurt you will keep you in bondage. Isn't it worth being healed? Isn't it worth walking in victory in every area to let go of that stuff? Don't ever carry an offense. Don't allow it. I tell you, that's a worse enemy than the enemy. Yeah. We all talk about how bad the enemy is. I'm going to tell you something. The worst enemy you have is if you have carried an offense or an unforgiveness or a bitterness or an envy. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, a dear friend of mine was preaching on this, and he was going through the works of the flesh. He ran across jealousy and envy, and you know what the difference is? Jealousy is when you want what somebody else has. Envy is when you want what they have and you're willing to do harm. It makes you want revenge. That's envy. There's Christians who are hurt because they're offended, they're hurt, they're jealous, or they're bitter. And they actually begin to pray in a vengeful way against their own body of Christ. Listen to me, children. He said, he who does it to the least of these, my brethren, he does it to me. Have you prayed against somebody because you were mad or hurt? It was Jesus you hurt. Have you come against someone in the body of Christ in your anger, in your evil speaking, in a moment of anger? And maybe even later you said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Then later you got mad again and did it again. Come on. When we do this, we're coming against Jesus because we're coming against His body. We have to be very, very careful. Listen to me. That is the worst thing you could ever do. It's so unholy to God It's a one thing that really makes him angry. You remember the story of the king? He forgave a man his debt, and it was this tiny little debt. I even figured out the numbers one time, this little bit of money, a very small amount of money, and the king forgave him. But then that man had someone that owed him money. And he wouldn't forgive that man. And the king, who's the king? Jesus. He said, I'm going to put you in jail, and you are not getting out until you pay every cent. And when you're in jail, you're not going to pay every cent because you can't work. Who's the king? Jesus. He was saying, this is one thing that makes me mad. When you don't forgive somebody, is you're going to jail and you're not getting out until you pay every cent. I was willing to forgive you all this stuff, all these things. I forgave and put them away and forgot about them. But you got this little thing somebody did to you, and you carry an attitude and you don't forgive, we're going to have words. We're going to have a problem. Yeah, Jesus talked to you. Go look it up and see if you don't think I'm right. We cannot afford, I don't care what the body of Christ did to you. I don't care what the church did to you. I don't care what your pastor, I don't care what anybody did. We cannot afford to have an attitude against each other. I don't care. I've had people do terrible things to me. I mean, if I told you some of the stuff people have done to me, said about me. I've had people who I talked to, and before the Lord, I'm telling you this. One guy, I had to talk to him about, he was doing some things that were hurting people, okay? I wanted to talk to him about it, but I the Bible says speak the truth in love. I prayed two months, to be able to confront this guy in truth and in love. And when I did it, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I was able to love him and honestly wish the best on him. He seemed to receive it in love and then went out and began to say some terrible things. And I began to notice that pastors were mad at me. Leaders wouldn't look at me. You know? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, to some people, they might be, look what that person did. You know what? We can't afford that. Bless them. It says, bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. You mean witches? Yeah, even witches, even Christian witches. Even the person who prayed junk against you and it caused you a battle because they were mad or hurt or whatever. Bless them, Lord. Hallelujah. Help them do better. Don't remember this on that day. Lay not this sin to their charge. God bless them, you know. Because you know what? The real issue isn't them. What happened is, through their emotional problem, they tied themselves to a demon, and the devil wanted to speak a curse against God, against God's own, right? Enemy's always looking for somebody's big mouth to use, so he looks for somebody who's got an offense. So he can speak junk and send junk, and there comes an attack. Because he doesn't have any real power, does he? No. So he tries to get somebody's mouth to use against one another. And I'm going to tell you something. You may need to go home tonight and do some repenting and say, Lord, I break every word I spoke against, you know, brother so-and-so. I don't care what they did. Don't get thrown in jail, you know, because you have an issue with unforgiveness. Just don't. It's not worth it. It says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Now, y'all know me, you know I'm big on grace, but I'm going to tell you something. That's black ink on a white page. We can look right at it. He said it. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. So, and I don't know about you, but I couldn't bear to stand before the Father and have him say, I love you, and I forgave you all your sins, but you didn't forgive that person and that person, so I'm sorry, I can't let you in. No. I don't care what they did to me. I'm going to find a way to forgive them. And if I can't find it in my heart, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to pray until I get the forgiveness of God through me, the real thing, not the fake one, not the fake thing, not the fake, I forgive you. Not that one. No, I'm going to pray until I'm really able, truly, to forgive to a place where I just don't even remember it anymore. And I'm going to be honest, I'm doing that for selfish reasons, because I want to be okay with my Father when I get there. And I want my Father to be okay with me and nothing hanging between us. Amen. All right, hallelujah. Said a little more than I meant to say, but glory. Okay.